What's up, Cub fans, and welcome to episode 138 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I'm your lone host today, Sean Sears. I'm a writer for NBC Sports Chicago, and we do have a little bit of news we need to share today about the podcast. Starting today, September 3rd, this Monday, I will officially be taking over for Ryan Davis as the lead host of this show, as Ryan takes a step back to focus on work and his family. But fear not, Ryan Davis will still be a part of this show. He will be on the show at least a couple times a week. The plan right now is to try and get him on maybe two or three times a week, get his takes, hopefully more give and back or give and take from between him and myself. We haven't completely polished out all the details quite yet, but things will stay relatively close to the same. You'll just be hearing me a little bit more, which I personally am very excited about. I hope you guys are as well. But yeah, I will be taking over as lead host here for the show. We haven't figured out exactly who's going to be filling in for Ryan when he's not here. So we'll get some options. Matt Peck has been on the show a few times. Kelly Wallace is an option as well. Both are great people. Just have to see what the schedules are right now. But for me personally, it'll be me taking over the show. I'm very excited. I can't say thank you enough to Ryan Davis, who's given me this opportunity. Nothing bad happening with Ryan. Like I said, he's still going to be with the show. He's just got other things he's got to worry about and doesn't necessarily have the time to commit to this as much as he'd like to. So he asked me to kind of take over. So that's what we're doing here from here on out. So Ryan and I will talk about more as he gets on the show later this week and, you know, polish out the details, like I said. But for now, we've got some Cubs to talk about. So let's dive into this here. On today's show, we'll quickly go over this weekend's games, highlight the excellent pitching from Kyle Hendricks, John Lester, and of course, Jose Quintana against the Phillies this week. In the second segment, we'll preview this week's series with the Brewers, which of course, I don't think I have to say to anyone is a massive series for the Cubs right now. And we'll talk a little about Javier Baez and why his season right now is so special. He just hit his 30th home run and knocked in his 100th RBI on Sunday. So we'll dive into that, kind of explain why I think Baez's season is important. Some people on Twitter were kind of getting into it. I'll explain why I personally think it's a big deal. And then the final segment, we'll wrap up by taking a look at the NL Central, maybe go over the wild card standings, and then I have a couple quick notes on catcher Bobby Wilson, who the Cubs just acquired earlier this week. He had some interesting things in a Fangraph article we'll talk about. So let's take a look at this series with the Philadelphia Phillies from this weekend. The Cubs were able to take 2-3 from the Phillies, losing Friday. Final score was 2-1. Jose Quintana, it's worth mentioning, pitched extremely well, won 6 innings, allowed only 3 hits, struck out 7 batters, only allowing 1 walk, was very strong in his outing with the Cubs and gave the Cubs a complete chance to win. He went to the 8 pitches and probably could have kept 88 pitches through 6 innings, could have probably kept going through into the 7th if he really wanted to, but his spot came up in the lineup. The Cubs decided to pinch it with Tommy La Stella. He was able to get on with a single. Nick Pivetta on the other side for the Phillies went 5 strong innings, gave up 1 home run to Javier Baez, I believe in the 3rd inning, and the Phillies bullpen came in and just kind of outlasted the Cubs. Strong effort from Justin Wilson, Jorge De La Rosa, who won an inning in 2/3. Wilson himself won an inning. It was Steve Cishek that went out and gave up the home run to Asdrubal Cabrera, who walked it off for the Phillies in a big win here on Friday. The Cubs came back on Saturday though and scored 15 collective runs between Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday's game, it was Kyle Hendricks on the mound. He went 6 strong innings, allowed 6 hits, only 1 run, 2 walks, struck out 4. Very vintage Kyle Hendricks. Was able to kind of scatter basically hits across 6 innings, did a really good job of keeping the Phillies off balance. Zach Eflin, however, did not have as much success against the Cubs as Hendricks did against the Phillies. Went 5 innings, gave up 4 runs, 3 of them earned, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. The Cubs just kind of put it together here a little bit. Kyle Schwarber had a triple, I believe, in the 3rd. Also had a triple on Saturday. The Cubs just kind of beat up on the Phillies here in these last 2 games. Hendricks looking strong. The offense finding ways to score. Ian Happ hit a home run later in the game. I believe David Bodie doubled. Baez brought him home later on a single. The Cubs that came out of this game winning 7-1, and Kyle Hendricks looked very strong. And then in the series finale, it was John Lester versus Aaron Nola. Nola, in his 7 most recent starts, had only allowed 8 earned runs, had struck out 46 batters, walked only 12, and only allowed 2 home runs in those starts. Prior to today's start, he was 15-3 with a 2.10 ERA coming into Sunday's start. Nola had been easily the Phillies' best pitcher, and Jacob deGrom didn't exist for the Nets. He'd probably be a serious candidate for the NL Central this year. He's been an excellent, excellent pitcher for the Phillies. Of course, John Lester coming in to Sunday's start, 14-5, a 3.67 ERA. He only allowed 4 earned runs in his last 3 starts, 1 home run, kept the walks down quite a bit, only 4 walks, had, I think it was 14 strikeouts. I'm taking a look right now. Yep, 14 strikeouts. Lester had a heck of a game today as well. Had ended up the day with, I believe, 7 strikeouts as well. Nola, however, only allowed 2 home runs in his last 7 starts. Gave up 3 solo shots today, starting with Daniel Murphy, who ended his 6 straight strikeout streak, clubbing a deep fly ball to right field for the Cubs, giving him a 1-0 lead in the top of the third. Rizzo followed it up in the fourth inning with his own solo shot, and then Javier Baez hit a massive shot to left center field to put the Cubs up 3-0, his 30th home run, his 100th RBI of the season. Kyle Schwarber followed it up with a triple. Later on, the Cubs were able to tack on 3 more runs in the eighth inning. Rizzo hit a single, scoring Javier Baez. Ian Happ doubled, scoring both Rizzo and Bryant. Contreras moved the third, and then Elmore knocked Contreras in later to make the score 8-0. The Phillies tacked on 1 more run, making it 8-1. The Cubs were able to pull off the win in the series win. Big, big win for the Cubs here. They improved to 81-55. The Phillies now looking like a team that's going to really have to rattle off some wins to kind of take this division, with Atlanta kind of getting a little bit of a stronger hold on there now. Big, big wins for the Cubs here, right? It's huge because the Cardinals keep winning. Brewers won here today. We'll talk about that in the third segment. But these are big wins, and I think the biggest difference right now for the Cubs is the offense is going to have moments where they're able to score, and it's great to see some consistency. But if the Cubs' pitching can be like this for the rest of the season, this is great. This is exactly what the Cubs need. For the Cubs to get 6 innings plus from their starters against a really good NL team, it's tough to ask for more. You got to point to Jose Quintana being able to go 6 strong innings with 7 strikeouts. He could have easily gone 7 innings if they really wanted to. Quintana's a guy we've talked about a little bit more on this podcast. We talked about it on Friday, saying how Quintana is one of those pitchers where we probably consider heavily putting in Mike Montgomery in the 4th or 5th inning, because it just seems like when Quintana goes through that lineup the 3rd time or the 4th time or gets past that 5th inning, it's either he gets tired or guys just start to expect what's coming from him. He does get a little more predictable. Ryan has a changeup article we've talked about quite a bit. He gets a lot of swings and misses on his changeup that he just doesn't seem to throw a lot. I don't have the numbers pulled up for here in this stat, in this start. I'll have to look into that maybe for another podcast to see what the usage was for those pitches. But 7 strikeouts shows that Quintana was definitely fooling some batters. So that's great. Kyle Hendricks on the other end, you know, he's not going to be a strikeout machine. But when he's locating, you can see that. That stat line tells you everything. When he allowed 6 hits and didn't only gave up 1 run, that shows that he is keeping the ball on the ground. Some balls are going to slip through. That happens, but he was able to get his guys those balls and get those outs. So, and then John Lester looked like vintage John Lester last night. So, or yesterday, I guess, not last night. But, you know, here we are now. It's September 3rd, and the Cubs have won 10 of their last 12 games and are clearly picking it up when they need to, and even later than I think, you know, people expected. But this could be a good thing. The Cubs are, you know, notoriously one of the best teams in the second half, and they're starting to prove that right now. So it's great to see the Cubs picking it up and doing the things they need to do. But I think the biggest thing really is that we're seeing these pitchers kind of just take over. Cole Hamels is going to be going here today. We'll dive into that here in just a second, but I don't think he'd be saying it enough. If the Cubs pitching is going to be like this the rest of the season, they are easily the favorites in the NL right now, and they probably already are. But if their pitching is going to be what we expect them to be at the beginning of the season, plus Cole Hamels pitching like a, you know, like a stud right now, like an ace, that's huge. So let's dive into the second segment. We'll preview this this Brewers series a little bit, look into today's matchup, and then also talk a little about Javier Baez and the special season he's having. So today's game will start at 1:10. It'll be Cole Hamels versus Zach Davies. Davies, in his 7 most recent starts, has allowed 19 earned runs, has only been able to strike out 25 batters compared to the 17 he's walked, has allowed 6 home runs. His record right now is 2-5 with a 5.23 ERA. Davies has not been very good. In his most recent matchup against the Cubs, he only allowed 2 runs in 5 2 innings of work. In the start before that from this season, he allowed just 1 run. This is a little bit different of a guy. And you're looking at his 5 most recent starts, he's allowed at least 2 runs or more. Gave up in his most recent start against St. Louis, gave up 5 runs, only lasted 5 innings, gave up 2 home runs in that game. Davies has not been strong right now. He's a right-handed pitcher, so the Cubs are going to be able to load up some lefties here. And Cole Hamels, of course, has been hotter than anyone in baseball right now, at least on the mound. At least he's got a 0.78 ERA with the Cubs right now in the season. He's 3.7-9-9 in his most recent start against the Mets. Didn't allow a single run in five innings. Was able to go the whole way against Cincinnati in nine innings, only one run, seven strikeouts. He's been a stud. This should be, in all intents and purposes, this is a good matchup for the Cubs right now. They should be able to hit Davies and hopefully get a big win here. With Cole Hamels on the mound, he's likely not going to be giving up too many runs in his starts for the Cubs. He has only given up no more than one run in each of these starts. He's been incredible. So this looks like a matchup the Cubs should be able to win here. Of course, the Brewers in their last 10 games, they just came off a series with the Nationals. They were able to win 2 of 3 against them. One against Cincinnati, dropped, won a series against Pittsburgh. They've been kind of winning, losing, winning, losing, winning two, losing two. They're winning these series, though, and they're still staying close in the division right now. With St. Louis losing today, they are now officially in second place behind the Cubs. We'll dive into that in the third segment here, but this is a good matchup for the Cubs. I think, like, Zach Davies is a guy that he's clearly not – he doesn't have the confidence. He doesn't have the stuff right now. He's walking a lot of guys. If Anthony Rizzo, if Javier Baez, is whoever you want to talk about, club some home runs with some guys on base, it's going to be great. With Chris Bryant back now, he showed, at least with his time in Iowa, and even just earlier this week, this weekend, he's getting on base. The power might not be there this year, and that's okay. But if he's going to be the elite on-base guy that we've learned to, you know, pretty much expect from Chris Bryant, 370, 380, 390, 400 type of guy on base, he's going to score some runs. He was in the 5-hole on Saturday. I don't know where he was batting, actually, against the Phillies on Sunday. I'll take a look really quick. But he's been getting on base. Yeah, Bryant was, once again, he was in the 4-hole today. He came out of the game later today. He started in right field, went to third base, went to left field. Terrence Gore came into the game for him later. Of course, when the Cubs have a big lead, got to sit the guy, sore shoulder. You don't want that to happen. So, but this, for everything that's going on, Milwaukee is a great team. I am pretty much ready to essentially crown the Cardinals as the second best team in this division. So even though the Brewers have second place right now, they've been able to keep pace. They don't have the pitching to be successful. And I think we're going to see Davies kind of, the Cubs are going to expose some flaws here, hopefully, because they're coming in hotter than anyone else pretty much in baseball, and Brewers have been able to kind of maintain success, but, you know, no ground really gained in this division. And you look here, back on August 21st, the Brewers are only 3 games back and in third place. They are now in second place, only 4 games back, have not been able to make up any ground. Same with the Cardinals, too, playing really good baseball, but the Cubs are playing better. So this should be a win for the Cubs, in my opinion. Davies does not look like a great pitcher. Cole Hamels has been better than just about anyone else. Everything's leaning towards the Cubs' way, but that does not necessarily mean anything for this team. Despite how well they've played, they're still a teeter-totter team. So we're going to have to see who comes out. But if the Cubs execute, play the way they should play, and Davies continues this streak of poor pitching and poor location, the Cubs are going to find some success, I think. So, but I teased this a little bit in the first part of the show here. Javier Baez hit his 30th home run of the season, knocked in his 100th RBI of the year. He has been nothing short of fantastic this year. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people on Twitter that are kind of over-exaggerating Javier Baez. He's not going to win an MVP this year. It's sad, too, because this is probably, I don't know if Javier Baez can replicate another season quite like this. The guy is batting just under 300. 330 on base percentage, 573. This is prior to today's game here, of course. So he's got, of course, you know, 30 home runs, 100 RBI, scored 85 runs at this point, 21 stolen bases. He does not walk, and that hurts him a little bit. If his on base was a little bit higher, I think that would help him quite a bit. But he's struck out less than he, you know, he's pretty much on pace. He's at 24.2 strikeouts. That's pretty much tying or right on par with his best season in terms of strikeouts. His BABIP's at 347, run creation of 135. He's nearly a 5-WAR player, according to Fangraphs. Javier Baez has been something out of this world. When you couple the offensive production that he's been able to put out there for the Cubs, I mean, slugging nearly 600, 573. The guy is just, when he's making contact, it's loud. It's hard. And you couple that with the defense he's bringing to the Cubs, I mean, it's just insane to think that this guy's having such a great season. Someone on Twitter today kind of put out, White Sox fan was talking about, Jose Abreu has 30 home runs and 100 RBIs, but no one's really talking about him. What's up with that? But Javier Baez is an MVP candidate, blah, 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 blah. Well, first off, you got to look at the two teams. Clearly, you can't go back and forth and compare and be like, well, this guy and this guy should be, on par with each other. No, they're not. The White Sox are a bad team. Someone's got to score runs for that team. Jose Abreu seems to be doing it. He's not a bad player by any means. You factor in the defensive side of the ball, not fantastic. It's just kind of a, no offense to the person that said this. I think you're a smart guy, but it was kind of just a dumb comparison because it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really accurately represent who these players are. But to think that Javier Baez, when we're talking about a guy in 2014 who was striking out like crazy, was taking harder swings than anyone else in baseball, had points where he would swing so hard his bat would fly farther than the ball sometimes. This was a guy that looked like a project, looked like he had a lot of the tools but could be reckless, or could have moments where he can, crush a ball out of the park but swings out of his shoes on a slider. That just seemed like Javier Baez. And of course, we see those things still. They're still existing, but he's clearly matured. There's been a maturation for Javier Baez from the moment he came up to the majors to where he is right now. A potential MVP candidate type player. He's not a shoo-in for it. I would say at this point, Freddie Freeman's probably going to win that. But I think it doesn't take away from what Javier Baez has been this year. And I think anyone that's upset with Javi or like annoyed with how much people are talking about him just doesn't appreciate the guy. Cut and dry. I get it. You're a White Sox fan. I'm sure it's frustrating hearing about this guy talk about all the time. And, anyone would take Javier Baez and whatnot. But, it's just, this is a special season because, we know how inconsistent Javier Baez can be. We know he can go on stretches where he can't make contact. He'll strike out for a month of baseball. It can happen. And then he'll have another month where he's hotter than anyone. But, it's crazy to think that we're now talking about Javier Baez as being an instinctually smart player as opposed to a reckless guy that can get lucky. I do think sometimes it's more of the latter than it is him being just intuitive enough to know what he needs to be doing in the base passes while letting a ball bounce an extra step to get himself in a better position. But he just does something fantastic every day. It's hard not to get excited to watch this guy. There was a promo with David Sunflower Seeds a couple days ago that the Cubs put out there with him working with the younger kids, and it's so much fun to watch him interact with these guys. It's to think that this was a guy that was upset that the Cubs didn't bring him up sooner in 2015 or 2014, and the Cubs didn't put him in the lineup and make him a starter right away. He kind of worked his way through it. Joe Madden kind of talked to him about this, and he's just kind of found his way. And now, he's the starting shortstop for the Cubs, a guy that, was seen as probably one of the best second basemen in baseball. The way he's playing, the way Addison Russell's playing, it just, for me personally, as someone that I never necessarily doubted Javier Baez, but didn't expect him to become the type of player he is right now, it's just great. I'm glad I'm wrong, honestly. I never came out and was like, Javier Baez sucks, or Javier Baez is going to be bad. I just thought of him as being like, a cherry on top of a team that had Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, and a bunch of really good, solid, players that kind of brought up the rest of this team, could step up in a moment. You have Kyle Schwarber, who can just apparently hit two triples out of nowhere. Good for Schwarby. You've got Addison Russell, who can step up in a postseason and hit up three home runs in a series. Or you've got, Ben Zobrist finding ways to come through here. I never expected Javier Baez to be part of the core. These core four they talked about all the time. He just felt like a piece that, anything he added to the Cubs was essentially a cherry on top of already this fantastic team. But he's inserted himself and thrust himself into the situation, whereas, instead of Javier Baez being trade bait, Javier Baez is one of the cornerstones of your franchise now. It's just crazy that this transition has happened. So I can't say enough good things about Javier Baez. He's been such a fun player this year. I'm sure everyone else agrees. He's a human highlight reel. So kudos to Javier Baez. And honestly, Cubs fans appreciate this season because with how inconsistent he can be, it's not a guarantee that we're going to see another 30-100 home run season for Javi. And he's only 9 steals away from a 30-30 season. I mean, this guy is just special. At 25 years old, the Cubs have a budding, potentially superstar player. I hope that's the case. At the very least, you have a really good player in the middle of your infield that's going to be there for, 5, 6, 7 more years. So enjoy him while you can. So let's roll to the third segment. We'll take a look at the NL Central, and then I've got a couple quick things on Bobby Wilson. So on Sunday, the Brewers were able to beat the Nationals. They won 9-5, and the Cardinals actually lost to the Cincinnati Reds. They lost 6-4. So the Brewers actually leapfrog the Cardinals for the time being. They are a half game up on the Cardinals. The Pirates and Reds basically stay where they are, and they're going to stay where they are for pretty much the rest of the season, unfortunately, for them. But right now, the standings shake out like this. The Cubs, 81-55. They have a five-game lead over the Brewers. Brewers, of course, 77-61. Half-game lead right now in the NL Central for the second-place standings. The Cardinals right behind them at 76-61. The Pirates, 66-71. They're 15.5 out. And then the Reds, of course, are 59-78. Taking a look at the NL wildcard standings right now. For the time being here, the Rockies are a half game behind the Dodgers. They're at 74-62. They're still behind the Brewers and Cardinals at the moment right now. Right now, Milwaukee and St. Louis would still be battling each other for that wild card playing game. And Arizona is somehow out of this picture, which is kind of crazy. They're not. Of course, they're 74-63, tied with the Rockies, 74, or actually Rockies have a half game lead on them. They have one less loss than 74-62. Dodgers have a half game lead over the Rockies at 75-62. Crazy to think the Dodgers are actually in this division race at this point, where they seem like just a few months ago probably potentially out of the playoffs altogether. So it's going to be tight, with Atlanta winning these couple games here this weekend, and the Phillies losing to the Cubs. They're now four games out of their division. They're 72-64. The Braves are 76-60. The NL wildcard is going to get tighter here as we go on. I still think it's Cardinals Brewers. It's going to be tight. Going to be really tight. The good news is for the Cubs, they have a five-game lead right now in their division. That's right now the biggest lead in any division for the NL, of course, the AL. The Cleveland Indians own a 14-game lead because everyone in the AL Central is awful for the American League. But this is going to be a tight match. The good news is for the Cubs, five games is huge. That's keeping these guys in arm's distance. The Cardinals keep winning, though. Big thing for the Cardinals is they've won a ton of games and somehow have yet to make up any ground, really, in the NL Central. Same thing can be said for the Brewers. They continue to win series and don't really seem to make up any ground. And if anything, the Cubs are really distancing themselves in this moment. So, big, big win here. You gotta just hope the Cubs continue to play this way, because it doesn't seem like the Brewers or the Cardinals are really going to be losing much ground. But same time, Cubs have been able to extend this lead in this division, so shout out to them. The pitching keeps going the way it is. I think that'll continue to trend in the right direction. Luckily, the 40-man rosters expand. Of course, everyone gets a boost from that, but not just the Cubs, but it's going to be a big help here. And then finally here, I wanted to touch on an article that was written at Fangraphs by David Lorla. I'm probably saying his name wrong. It's L-A-U-R-I-L-A. It was written on Sunday. He caught up with Bobby Wilson, of course, who just got traded to the Cubs, and kind of asked his thoughts on pitching. He had some interesting quotes here. He's talking about how velocity and how guys with, of course, higher velocity can probably miss barrels more so than, you know, guys that are throwing 88 or 90. It's all about location and pinpointing your, you know, spots and whatnot, but you can still have guys with 95 to 100 that can still miss those bats and not hit the barrels. He talked about players as being soldiers. Talked about the veteran backup, you know, being a veteran backup. He's like, I quote, "If something is brought down to us, hey, this is going to make us better, we try it. We're going to go with what works." I find that interesting. Of course, Wilson has never been a guy that's going to tear the ball off the cover. They point out in this article, he's got a career OPS of 577 and exactly 1,000 plate appearances at 35 years old. This guy is known to be a smart guy who knows how to pitch or how pitching works, and he's excellent at receiving and setting his guys up. This seems like a steal for the Cubs. If he even just bats like 120 or something like that, if he's going to be able to give that type of presence to the Cubs, I think that's huge. You know, Caratini's bat and being a switch hitter probably gives you more options off the bat or off the bench. And, you know, if you have to keep an active catcher, you know, Caratini gives you plenty of options in that regard. But if Bobby Wilson really has this type of mindset behind the plate, I think that's interesting. He talked about how he likes to use all four zones. He knows how which pitches go where and what's better to hit with these guys. He's diving deep into the numbers. It me personally, I find it refreshing that you've got a backstop who's going to have that type of mindset. So I'm excited for it. You know, who knows if Bobby Wilson even makes his team. I hope he does. He seems like an interesting guy, and Carantini hasn't been anything too fantastic. So, but that'll about do it here for today's show. Of course, my name is Sean Sears. Tweet at us at Lockdown Cubs. Send us your questions. We'll take them at all points. You know, we have mailbag questions or whatnot that we do a lot of times. There's going to be one more this season with one more off day. Appreciate you guys sending any questions our way, but we will get to them if it's not in that mailbag, another episode, whatever it may be. Maybe we just DM you, whatever, you know, whatever it is. I know someone sent us some emails maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm saving those. I didn't ignore those. I'm going to save those for the mailbag. I appreciate you sending them that way. Follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, whatever it may be, whatever app you're using. Make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review. 5 stars is greatly appreciated, but be honest. We want to hear what your guys' opinion is. We want to make this better. Beyond that, there is one other thing I want to mention here on the podcast. I'm going to say this one time, maybe once more later this week. Some exciting stuff here. I host the 312 podcast. It's a live radio show every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. This next Saturday, we're going to be doing a show live from Kings Lanes with Bobby Portis. It's an event through the Lockdown Bulls podcast, which we're really excited about to be a part of. One of my good friends, Matt Peck, is a co-host for the Lockdown Bulls, and he will be battling his co-host, actually Jordan Malley, will be battling Bobby Portis in a bowling matchup. Tickets can be found at Eventbrite by just searching Bowling with Bobby. You can head to Twitter on my Twitter. You can follow me at Sean R. Sears. I've retweeted the event. I think it's pinned at the top of my Twitter. Take a look into it. I really appreciate it if you guys want to. If you guys are Bulls fans, Chicago fans, whatever it may be, Bobby Portis has been awesome. He's a really cool dude. Been very, very humbled and surprised by how awesome of a guy he is. We're really excited to work with him. We're going to get a couple minutes on the podcast and 312 to talk to him and, of course, engage with him throughout the day here next Saturday. So come check it out. Greatly appreciate it. If you come find me, my name's Sean. I might have a prize for you. We'll see. Depends on what my bank account's looking. But I will hook you guys up if you come find me. So please do so. Beyond that, thanks again for tuning in. If you have any other suggestions or questions, tweet at LockdownBull or LockdownBulls. You can email us at LockdownBulls@gmail.com. My name is Sean Sears. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and go Cubs.